Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Kids. Who are our kids with? I wonder that sometimes. I don't know these people. Do you know them? What are they about? Do they have the best interest in you know, your kids' interest in mind? Or, I mean, who are some of these people that are around our kids? And I talk about that because a couple stories have come to mind over the last couple days, and really over the last couple years. You've got this Grayson, Trayvon Grayson kid, 7 years old, Baltimore, tutor, allegedly frustrated with him, throws him up against the wall, breaks his jaw. I posted the picture at Facebook. You can check it out. He looked like he went 12 rounds with Tyson. And by the way, if you see the guy, I won't mention his name because I don't want to give him any pub, but let's just say I don't know what he's tutoring him in. Chad, I'm just saying, you know. Do we know who our kids are with? And do we know what's going on? As parents, you know, I think as parents, you know, we trust, right? Sometimes we trust. Sometimes we trust too much. Sometimes we give too much. Sometimes we are too open with our kids. And sometimes we live our lives through our kids, and that could cause us some issues. Right now in Europe, in the English Football League, there is a massive scandal going on that is reverberating around the country and around the world, because I know this happens a lot more, and especially with young boys, you would be surprised at how often this happens. But you have got the English Football League investigating the fact that many, many young soccer players, footballers as they're called over there, were molested by some high-profile people. You've got one of their famous kids presenters, or kids host, Jimmy Savile, who was arrested and convicted just a year or so ago of molesting 72 people. And then you've got what's going on in Canada right now. The complexity of what took place in Canada with teachers and doctors and this sex ring and all kinds of stuff. And you see Jared and this, that, and the other. What are we doing? I mean, what is going on out there? Is it more prevalent than ever, or we just hear about it? Well, I think it's a lot of things. And one thing is, I think we hear about it now because we talk about it. We didn't talk about it in the 60s and 70s. If something happened to you in the 60s and 70s, even into the 80s, it was a hush-hush kind of thing. As we became more open in the 90s and into the 2000s, it was a little bit more. Was it as prevalent back then than it is now? Probably. I mean, the truth is, when you were in the 70s and you went and told your mom something happened to you, she may not have believed you. Oh, I know, Mr. So-and-so. He would never do that. If you would have went and told your mother or father that a priest had molested you, you might have got smacked upside your head. You might have got lit. If you would have told your mom and dad that a teacher slapped you upside the head, they might have said, you probably deserved it. But as we've gone on, we realize that no teacher should do that. And that it was happening to a lot of boys. And it's brutal. And it's horrible. And you got this 7-year-old who was thrown off a wall, who, if you look at the guy, I mean, this kid, I mean, his jaw is busted. Now, I say allegedly because, you know, I'm not here to pass judgment on anybody. The guy that allegedly did it said it was an accident. I don't know how you get an accident like this. Now, if he was running and he was goofing around in the classroom and he was at a full sprint, he looks like a big dude, maybe you run into the kid. Absolutely. That's an accident. But do we know everybody? Do we have an understanding? I mean, and I think, look, we as parents have to take some personal responsibility in this. And I'll tell you why. Because as I've grown up, I have seen what parents are willing to do to get kids into certain programs, what kids are willing to do to parents are willing to do help further their kids' lives. Because a lot of times parents are living through their kids. They couldn't make it as an athlete. They couldn't make it as a this. They could make it at that. So they're willing to trust somebody who says they can make it. All these players that are coming out in England saying, look, this, by the way, I was there at this time. And let me tell you how it works over there. You are a youth boy. Means, you know how, imagine if you're playing for, you know, you're playing for your local neighborhood team, wherever you are in America. And all of a sudden the New York Yankees said, hey, we'd like you to come play in our youth program. And you could be a New York Yankee. And all of a sudden you're a youth Yankee because they don't have a draft like we do in sports and stuff like that. And you pass through the system. And so what ends up happening is these kids are groomed in many different ways to not talk, to not say certain things. They're told and promised stuff. They're shamed into things. The way that it works, this is what they do. And we saw it with Sandusky, and we've seen it now here with this. And my thing is, do we know who we send our kids with? And this includes teachers. We have seen teachers who are sleeping with our children. We have seen teachers who have had babies with our kids. We have seen teachers do some heinous things in Los Angeles and whatnot. Who are some of these people? Because you want, and I don't want to make it so you sit here and you think, well, everybody works with a kid. You know, that guy that is volunteering, he may be just a guy who volunteers because he thinks it's good. Right? He may be just somebody who's putting an effort out there because it's something he wants to do. He wants to give back. And I don't want you to go, oh, well, everybody who's around kids. No, that's not right. But I think we do need to take a bigger look at things and think to ourselves is, you know, do we know the people that our kids are around? If you listen to my show, you know what happened to me as a child. I won't bore you with the details, but for several years I was molested. And I knew so many consequences would have happened to me if I would have gone to my parents in that day and age. And some of them might not even be, I'm not even going to pay attention to it because you know what? It was easier to bury it. Again, this was a day and age, you know, in the 70s and 80s and stuff where you didn't talk. Like if somebody got cancer, you never talked about it, right? You didn't talk about so if somebody's husband or got laid off, you didn't talk about it. There wasn't these kind of feelings and stuff. And so back then, it was much easier. Now, it has to be extremely sophisticated. I wonder. I do as I look around. Like, do we know who we send our kids with? I have a six-year-old, Jack. I send Jack off every single day. His mom sends Jack, and she goes, and he goes to school and stuff. Do I know the teacher? Well, you met the teacher, but do I know the teacher? No, I don't know the teacher. Do I know the people that work there? I mean, you want to think, but just because they do a background check doesn't mean everything is. Look, everybody passes a background check until they get caught, right? Everybody. When I see this little kid, this little young boy, this Trayvon Grayson here who was thrown up against the wall in Baltimore, he looks like somebody took a bat to him. Do we know who our kids are with? Do we know? Do we have an understanding? I wonder that. And parents, we have to do a better job, too, of knowing who our kids are with, knowing what our kids are doing, not helicoptering them, giving them freedoms, but at the same time, making sure we have a good understanding of what's going on, not putting our needs in front of their needs when it comes to their well-being. And by that, I mean the want to give your kid a great opportunity to play sports, and you're willing to do anything to do that, including put your kid in situations where it's probably questionable. And I know a lot of sports leagues and schools and stuff do all they possibly can, but you just never know. And when I saw this story today, you know, because I think we think that everybody who works with kids is, you know, is just, they're the salt of the earth, and that's not always true. Not all teachers are the salt of the earth. Not all people who work with kids are the salt of the earth. Not all people who are around kids are there for a good reason. So Sometimes it's for nefariousness. Sometimes it's to do damage. Sometimes it's to molest. Sometimes it's abuse. Sometimes it's because they're good people. But I think we need to do a better job. And I brought that up today because when I saw these things, it just reminded me of what it was like when I was a kid. And, you know, to think about, what are your kids doing? Who are they staying with? Where are they going? You're not going to know everything all of the time, but what are the signs of something? And when you read a lot of these things, they're all the same kind of signs. And a lot of times parents are, they're so blinded, their vision's on the end game of something, that they don't often actually pay attention to what may be potentially happening. Sad. Interesting, but sad. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Text the show. Love when you do. Got so many texts yesterday. Still getting text messages. Still getting emails. Still getting Facebooks about the worst bands. And by the way, producer Phil, Creed was not as hated by a lot of people as it was by you and I.
I find that hard to believe because I have great musical taste.
I find it hard to believe as well. But I will say there was a universal. Who do you think universally was hated the most?
I don't know.
Lana Del Rey.
Really?
Every single person sent me something, said, oh, I didn't hate Creed that much, but that Lana Del Rey's got to go. That was the worst thing I've ever heard. That was horrible. That depressed. I got 20 of those. Oh, that was horrible. That was. Donald Trump. Well, really, Mike Pence managed to keep Kerry there. Good deal or bad deal. And get ready for this. We have got a dog in the White House, if you will. Chad Benson Show.
Yo, DJ, drop that beat, partner.
Oh, dear God, no.
Do you have any questions?
You're listening to the Chad Benson Show.
So Mike Pence mostly was the big catalyst for getting Carrier to stay there. A lot of people are working. I saw Bernie Sanders wrote an op-ed piece saying, oh, my God, this is it. You've ruined it. It's over now. You got to give everything away to everybody. Hold us hostage. Ah! Which I don't think is true. Look, here's the thing. Most companies are looking for something. They're looking for a break. They got a break. They got some subsidies. They got a little bit of a break here, a little bit of a break there. How much of that will it actually affect them keeping more jobs here, maybe expanding? Probably little to none. How long will it last? Again, who knows? Very sneaky, apparently. He hadn't given up his governorship, so he was allowed to do some stuff, Mike Pence, that otherwise he couldn't have done. It's, you know what, it is what it is. I mean, I've told you all along, when it comes to, it's not just taxes alone. Regulation is massive. The regulations, in fact, this is great. The new, listen to this. This I found just to be just crazy. The new implementation of EPA's rules on heavy trucks has boosted the 10-year regulatory burden of America past $1 trillion. 75%, which have been imposed by Obama's administration. What does that equate to? Over that entire time, about $3,100 per person or $540 annual cost per person. Over $1 trillion. Get ready. 500 new major regulations have passed through the Obama administration since last summer. 4,432 total number of regulations finalized. 754,280,000 paperwork hours. Regulations. Those are huge. And that's what companies are looking for. Why would I want to do business here when you're going to make business here a pain in the ass? Why would I want to do something here where I know as I do it, you're going to figure out a way to charge me more, to regulate me, to make me purchase things that I don't need that aren't going to help anything? Like we talked about yesterday with the whole methane thing with the taxes in California, you know, going to tax cow farts. Who does that? Like the insanity of something like that. So as much as it's about subsidies and helping out in some ways, understand that there are other things involved, meaning regulations are going to have to start to loosen up and change. And this is where I think we need to say businesses, by the way, for all of, are there businesses out there that love to cut corners? Yes. Don't think there's not. There are businesses out there that love cutting corners, but a majority of businesses don't. A majority of businesses do everything they possibly can to not cut corners and to do things right. Yes, they have to. There's a bottom line. You're answering to other people. That's how business works, especially when you're a public corporation. You don't answer to the chairman of the board. You don't answer to your manager or the vice. You answer to stockholders in a lot of ways. Because if they're not happy, stocks are down, things are more expensive, you're struggling, they start cutting the fat. And the first place that everybody starts cutting fat is where? Employees. Employees. There you go. One thing I was talking to somebody today about, one thing about the carriers, let's say Carrier kept their manufacturing here, but they did it because they were going to automate 90% of it, and there was only going to be 100 jobs saved. Would we be mad at Carrier then? Some of the things that we don't think about as we grow technology-wise, what happens at that point and that time as we grow and we decide we don't need workers anymore? We talk about with fast food, but before it gets to fast food, because oddly enough, that's a little bit more intricate when it comes to the robot stuff, it's going to happen in manufacturing. And it is everywhere. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Text the show, 323-538-2423. A lot of texts coming in. We'll talk about the dog in the house next.
Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
People texting in about what they would do if a teacher...
He was 3 months early.
Did
and
something
less than 2 pounds
to
for
their
his mom, Cindy. It was heartbreaking.
Kids. And here's what somebody said. Here's what I did early 90s.
Over a month before
teacher physically corrected my son.
To
went to school.
Help babies like Antonio.
Rode to classroom with my Harley and beat the teacher stupid. To help build. So very interesting. Very interesting. The whole thing was very interesting. And I don't know. Again, I don't know what would happen if anybody touched my son. You want to say you're going to go beat somebody's ass, and you probably would, but does that do a good job really for your son, for your daughter? I guess it depends on what it would be. Again, when I told my mom what Mrs. Winston did to me when I was a kid, she grabbed my arm and she had big nails and she squeezed it and she left the mark. And my mom's like, you deserved it. Interesting. There's a dog in the White House. It's Mad Dog. Mad Dog Mattis is going to be the Secretary of Defense. A lot of people out there were questioning whether or not he should be. There has to be a special dispensation because he hasn't been retired long enough. By the sounds of it, Phil, it's like trying to get into the Hall of Fame after sports.
Really?
Right? Yeah, you have to be retired, I guess, for 5 or 7 years before you can then move into one of these kind of positions, unless you get a special dispensation, so we'll see what happens. But, I tweeted out last week that, you know, how cool it'd be to have a dog, if you will, a dog, a mad dog. What's the enemy going to think? We're going to have a mad dog. And I will say, special forces people, there were some incidents with him in special forces that people were very pissed about. And he felt that he abandoned special forces in certain situations and he left them there. And it was not a good situation. I don't know about that. What I do know is that, you know, he is Trump is surrounding himself with a lot of generals. So I think he's taking a lot of this stuff a little bit more serious when it comes to policing the world. And we'll see what's next. I think the big one next is Secretary of State. And I think by all accounts, this pointed to Mitt Romney being Secretary of State. And the reason for that is Petraeus was in the running. I think Giuliani has fallen out. Petraeus was in the running. And I don't think they're going to have, first of all, to understand, General Petraeus would have to first, he would have to become President Trump. And then he has to pardon him. And then he could become Secretary of State. I think it's going to be Mitt Romney. I think that's a lot of generals right now. We need some soldiers, not a general. And I think Mitt Romney is going to be the one that they're going to make Secretary of State. I think they've met on, what, three or four occasions now, had dinner the other night. It looks like he's the leader in the clubhouse. And I have a feeling I wouldn't be surprised if tomorrow an announcement comes, or at least sometime over the weekend, that he is going to be Secretary of State. Tonight he's actually going to hold his first post-election rally. This is interesting. He's going over to Ohio. He's going to be in Cincinnati, the Natty. And he is going to the states that help him get elected, and he is saying thank you. I find that very interesting. And, you know, it's funny because we, how many times have we talked about it? The Democrats show up when they need something, and they leave, and they don't show up for 4 years. He's going back there before he's even taken office. And, Phil, are you still having trouble with it like I am, President Trump? Just not
quite?
Yeah,
I'm looking at it, and it's hard to grasp the concept.
You know what it is? I'm trying to picture, and this is where it comes from in my mind. I'm trying to picture him walking out of the White House, going into the garden, getting onto the helicopter. I'm trying to picture that. I was talking to somebody today about Trump, and as we were chatting about this, I said, you know, here's the thing. The thing about Trump is, and we forget, okay, he has said some stuff. I do not believe, he even said today about building the wall again, but he said, look, there's going to be doors all over this wall. You're going to walk in and walk out. You're going to do it legally. We're going to have people that are going to come here for a day. People who may come here for a lifetime. We're opening up the doors. We're doing all these kind of things. The thing about Trump that I think we forget as human beings, and if you think about this for a second, he is a person who ad-libs. A person who talks, a person who goes out, he delivers whatever's on his mind. And he may not deliver it in the way that people we think about. If you compared how much he actually freeform speaks, where he goes out and delivers something right to you, if you actually compare the time comparatively to every other president or politician, I think you'd find that he slips up the least. Remember, everything you see from all of these politicians, for all intents and purposes, is planned statements or speeches. They've been written, rewritten, rewritten again, crossed out, torn up, rewritten again, gone over, and then handed to you, the public, via a speech. I think we forget that he doesn't do that. And there's a reason for that, because I watch him, and quite frankly, when he does the teleprompter thing, I have a real tough time with that. Because he ain't good at it. It is like bad soap acting. That's what it is. Philip Morris, I saw this today, and, you know, we were talking about this, you know, producer Phil, you quit smoking.
I did.
And that is massive. That is massive. Philip Morris is now looking beyond cigarettes and looking at alternative products and what they're going to do. And this, I think, is the... This will be the precursor and the first step. And this is in my mind, but I think I've said it over and over, and I think other people are seeing this too. This is going to be the first step towards moving towards a marijuana product, I bet. I bet you it is going to be one of the first steps in moving towards something. They're looking to, and look, they're looking to get away from tobacco products. I mean, it's got to be hard to work in the world of tobacco knowing that your product kills people. Right? Your product kills people. That's a tough thing. Your product kills folk. But they're looking for something different. And you've got still millions upon millions of people who are smoking, but they're moving further and further away from it. More and more places don't allow smoking. I'm always like, when I go to Vegas or you go to some of these places where you can smoke indoor, it's so weird now. People are moving away from it. What are they going to do? They're looking at a lot of different things. They say, we certainly see a future where Philip Morris is no longer selling cigarettes in the marketplace. That's massive. Could you imagine when Ford comes up and says, this is how big this is in a lot of ways. Ford comes up and says, we can certainly see a day when we no longer sell cars in the marketplace. Coca-Cola. We see a future where we no longer sell Coca-Cola in the marketplace. That's huge. That is massive. They said they're looking for a new alternative to cigarettes. IQOS is a company. It's been a ton of money in research and $3 billion of investments, and they're looking for a smokeless future. Vaping is one of those things, but vaping is another one of those, you know, everybody got excited because it was, quote unquote, an alternative to smoking. But then we always, you know, as we do, we run at stuff, and then we don't really know exactly what's in it and what kids are doing with it, and that's where it's going. But vaping seems to be the big thing. They said the new device they have electronically heats tobacco enough to produce a vapor without burning it. The company says vapor has less than 10% of the amount of harmful chemicals found in cigarette smokes. You got to do something, right? You're killing off your killing off your customers, and you're not replenishing them. But I think that's good. I know I have friends out there. I have people who I know smoke, and it doesn't really, you know, bug me. But, you know, I think you're killing yourself. You're killing. That's the thing. But every day we kill ourselves, right? Like, I had a waffle and bacon and eggs today. Like, that's not great for me. It was delicious, but it's not good for me. It's not. People out there have Coke. I was reading about Warren Buffett. Phil, this is what's insane, producer Phil. He says he drinks, that all he does is drink Coca-Cola all day.
That's a lot of Coke.
He says he has about 3,000 calories a day, and he knows that at least over a third, almost a half, is just Coca-Cola calories.
Wow.
And that's an 80-something-year-old man. That's not good for you. Like, we all know what's good for us, right? We know smoking's bad. We know excess drinking's bad. We know that eating too much is bad. But we never, rarely do we stop it. And we justify, like, I'm stressed, or I've had a long day, or I'm angry, or I've been really hungry. I've been working out hard. I need the energy. That's crazy. Man, makes me think I got to go work out. I was just kidding. We know that's not going to happen. It's Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, chad@chadbensonshow.com. Text the show. Love when you do. 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. Producer Phil, was smoking the hardest thing you've ever had to give up?
It was difficult. It may have been the hardest. I've never really tried to give up anything else.
Like, but did you think it was going to be easier, or was it about what you expected?
I actually thought it was easier. It was easier than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, yeah. Like, when my mom quit smoking, she got big. She got heavy fast because she transferred that stuff over to eating instead of smoking.
Yep.
And, yep, yeah. Phil had a huge lunch today. Massive. NFL is on tonight. We'll talk a bit about that. We'll talk about a player who was suspended for 10 games, and the NFL needs to rethink some of their policies, because when you hear what's wrong with this player and you understand why he did what he did, maybe we can have a little sympathy.
How does that happen?
That just might be the dumbest idea I've ever heard, ever.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
I didn't make the idea, kids. Thursday night NFL football tonight. Got a decent one, actually. We got the Vikings. And we got the Cowboys. Both teams played actually a week ago because it's been a week since Thanksgiving. Isn't it weird it's December already? My God, this year has flown by. But they play tonight. Dak, you know, I was sitting there today thinking, if you're Tony Romo, how do you feel? Sitting there. Your job is gone. Next year you're going to be playing in Cleveland running for your life. The money's going to be good, but the money you're going to have to spend just to save yourself. Oh, my goodness me. Should be a fun game tonight. But the NFL made an announcement that they have suspended for 10 games Centrell Henderson, plays for the Buffalo Bills. There's a guy who was suspended because he used marijuana. And this is the hypocrisy of the NFL. And you're like, well, he used marijuana. It's wrong. He shouldn't do it. Well, yes. You know what? The rules are you can't use marijuana. Them's the rules. But they're okay putting massive amounts of opioids into your body, handing you anything you need, giving you shots to get you back on the field, doing anything possible to make you playable enough each and every down on that Sunday or Thursday. The reason he is taking marijuana is because he has Crohn's disease. And if you don't know what Crohn's disease or celiac disease, it's nasty. It's a bowel. It's irritable. It is just inflammatory bowel disease. Horrific. How bad is it? He's had two surgeries on his intestine, and they had to remove and reattach parts of his intestines. Think about that. Think about that for a second. They had to remove part of his body so he could function somewhat normal. All the while trying to keep weight on while he plays a very tough position. He says, look, this is what helps me. And in fact, several studies have found that marijuana actually can be very effective in the treatment of Crohn's. But it's the hypocrisy of it all. The NFL is okay to shove Norco and Vicodin and literally have giant, huge bowls that you would see at Thanksgiving. I mean, not Thanksgiving, but at Halloween with candy full of it. Instead, it's all of these drugs, and they're okay to hand it to you. They're okay to give you shots to fix your body so it's numb enough so you can go play. They're okay to do all of those things, but you want to smoke a little weed and they lose their mind. I don't know what they say. Well, it's about the kids or it's about this. No, wrong. It's, you know, stop with the baloney. First of all, let me handle my kid. Right? These guys aren't smoking weed on the sideline. It's not like, whoa, Dak Prescott throws another touchdown, and to celebrate, he and Dez Bryant hit a ball. Like, that's not what it's about. If this is what helps these guys feel better and recover, if this is it, I would rather have them smoking weed or, you know, digesting weed through edibles than doing all of the things they're doing that are truly ruining their lives. And by that, I mean all of the massive amounts of painkillers that these guys take, the massive amounts. Not only does it never becomes enough and they become addicted, think about the things it does to your kidneys and your liver and the rest of your insides. That's his problem. He said, look, I can't take a good portion of this because it doesn't agree with me. If this is what makes somebody feel better, why are we fighting this anymore? I mean, no, again, you know, it's the stupidity of it all. What do you think? This guy's going to smoke weed and all of a sudden he's going to run, you know, the 40 faster. He's going to be a little quicker off the edge. He's going to have more tackles. He's not taking steroids. Not doing any of those things. The hypocrisy of the NFL is so big, but it's not just the NFL. It's all of these sports leagues. The hypocrisy of it all. One thing, Major League Baseball at least got one thing right. They banned chewing tobacco. You can't chew anywhere inside of a stadium. In fact, all stadiums are tobacco-free. No smoking, no. They're all tobacco-free. At least they got that right. Now, they make a mess with sunflower seeds, but that's a lot better than tobacco. But enough with the hypocrisy. If so-and-so, who's 6'6", and every week he runs into a wall over and over again for you, wants to hit a ball, wants to relax at night after a hard day's work of crushing people and being crushed, and this is what he wants to do, who are we to say no? But it's okay that he gets drunk, and it's okay that he takes just piles of painkillers? God. Text the show, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.